call the next item, please? We have a time certain at 9:45.
Item 112, accept the Explore Washington Park 2016 program review.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor. In 2014, Council created the Pater Park program at Washington Park to resolve longstanding issues there. The issues included managing limited parking there, and which often spills over into neighborhood streets. Explore Washington Park, which was formerly the Transportation Management Agreement, is a 501c3 nonprofit that provides transportation management services at the park on behalf of Portland Parks and Recreation. Since its inception, it has been working with many partners to alleviate traffic and parking congestion at Washington Park. Explore Washington Park's Executive Director, Heather McCary, is here today to come over some of the accomplishments and what's to come. And since we haven't had a report about it at Council before, I thought this would be a good way to start off the new administration. Director Mike Abate.
Thank you, Commissioner. Council, it's a great pleasure to be here. Mike Abate, Director of Portland Parks and Recreation. I'd like to set a little bit of historical context. In 1981, the City Council consisted of Mayor Francis Ivancy, Commissioner Charles Jordan, Commissioner Mike Lindbergh, Commissioner Mildred Schwab, and Commissioner Margaret Strong. And I'm reading from the first and only, thus far, master plan for Washington Park. Two recommendations of that plan include, I'm just going to read from it. Number one, establish a permanent advisory committee which equitably represents each of the institutions and adjacent neighborhoods, as well as users from the city at large, to work with the superintendent in recommending park policy, programming, and development objectives. And then this is really key. This is, 36 years ago. As the cost of driving and owning private automobiles increases, public transit will become a much more popular means of reaching recreational facilities. Demand is expected to nearly double within the next 10 years. Those who reach the park via public transit will require some form of transit to move within the park, as will those who find it necessary to park at some distance from their destination. As the numbers of people using the park increase, the resulting traffic will itself become a cause of dissatisfaction among the park users. For these reasons, it is time to consider alternative means of moving people around the park. Well, 31 years later, in 2012, and under the leadership of then-Parks Commissioner Nick Fish, Portland City Council and Metro Council, I should mention, approved the establishment of the Transportation Management Association for Washington Park. And I'd like to, this is, as Commissioner Fritz mentioned, this is our first time to come to Council and just give you a report on how it's going. So first of all, I'd like to express my appreciation to the Council for taking the risk to implement paid parking at Washington Park. And we should be very proud and excited for the work that has been accomplished in these 4 short years and the way we brought the park stakeholders together to achieve the vision set forth such a long time ago. And now that the effort has been fully operational for 3 years, we want to give the Council an update on the accomplishments, but also the future of the Transportation Management Association, which is now called Explore Washington Park. Things such as the free shuttle with excellent ridership, a transportation management plan, and starting a new master planning process for one of our premier parks, increased ranger presence, and enhancing the park through better maintenance and stakeholder engagement. So I'm joined today by Parks Program Specialist Victor Sanders, a Parks employee who works in close collaboration with Heather McCary, the Executive Director of Explore Washington Park, who will be making this report to you this morning.
Great. Heather. Thank you so much, Mike. Good morning, Mayor and Councilor. My name is Heather McCary. I'm the Executive Director of Explore Washington Park and really appreciate the opportunity to be here today to give you a little bit of background on who we are and what we've been able to accomplish. I appreciate Mike's historical background looking at 1981. I'm actually going to start us off in 1903. So 1903 is when the Olmsted brothers came to Portland and they created plans for the City of Portland Parks. And at the time, in 1903, Washington Park actually did exist, but it was called City Park. And this is what they had to say about City Park in 1903. Already, the capacity of City Park is taxed to its utmost upon holidays and pleasant Sundays in summer. So that was in 1903. And of course, the popularity of Washington Park has not decreased since then.
By the way, I have a copy of that plan in my office, and the original is in our archives. And the interesting thing about the original is between the preparation of the final report and the presentation to council, the author found some mistakes. So they're all corrected in pencil.
Yeah. Even looking, up here, you can see it said City of Portland Parks Commission and then crossed out in pencil. So, yeah, you're exactly right. The popularity of the park is just ever increasing, and we're home to some of Portland's most treasured attractions. We have Hoyt Arboretum, the Portland Japanese Garden, International Rose Test Garden, the Oregon Zoo, World Forestry Center, and the Portland Children's Museum. In fact, the park sees over 3 million visitors every year. I think it's really interesting to note that the Oregon Zoo is actually bringing in over half of those visitors, over 1.5 million. So access to the park has really always been something that's been a top concern. I don't know if any of you guys remember this bus that used to run from downtown Portland up to the park. This is when OMSI was still in the park and TriMet ran this bus. They did an amazing job marketing what they'll find in the park with the space caption there and the lion on the back. And then, of course, in 1998, the TriMet Light Rail Station opened. This is the deepest station in all of North America, and it links the park with the MAX red and blue lines. But even with those efforts, people were still driving to the park. And so Metro, at the time, they created an off-site parking lot. People would come to the park. If it was full, they would go and be sent to this off-site lot and take these yellow school buses to get back to the park. This is a system that's still in use today. It's definitely not giving people the customer or experience that we're hoping to provide to them. This is a picture of folks. All these folks tried to park inside the park. They got sent to this off-site lot, and now they're in line waiting to get on a yellow school bus. So parking and access continued to be an issue, and so as Mike mentioned, the directors got together in the park to really figure out what could be some aggressive measures to improve access. And these directors hired a consultant. That consultant recommended a pay-to-park system go in. The pay-to-park system was projected to raise $2.1 million annually, and all of the money would stay inside Washington Park. And it would go to pay for some of these things that you see on the screen, so a Transportation Management Association.
I just want to say, Mike, what she just said about the money staying in the park, that was the loud and clear message of our community when we had this very fairly sharp debate a number of years ago, that the money stay. And so we're continuing to put all the money back into the Washington Park, correct?
Absolutely. And again, I think that was a courageous move by the council to do that because, sources of funds are precious, and to recognize the importance of Washington Park and say all the money that's raised there is going to stay in the park.
And that's exactly what's happened. It was meant to create this nonprofit association, this TMA, pay for capital improvements, some of which were code required, pay for enhanced shuttle, so improve the offsite shuttle and then also create a free intrapark shuttle and then create a new master plan, as Mike had mentioned. And so Mike mentioned in 2012, City Council and Metro Council approved the ordinance that allowed for the Washington Park Transportation and Parking Agreement so that Portland Parks and Rec could install pay-to-park system in the park. So I wanted to give an update on how that parking system is going. The parking system is run and managed by Portland Parks and Recreation, so I provide these slides on behalf of PP&R. I had mentioned that it was projected to raise $2.1 million annually. Our first full fiscal year, we raised $2.4 million. This past fiscal year, we raised $2.6 million. We have not raised rates in the park since we started in January of 2014. However, we are starting to utilize the parking that we have in a more efficient manner, which is why we think we've seen an increase in revenue. There's always the concern that a pay-to-park system is going to impact attendance.
I'm sorry, could you explain that? When you say in a more efficient manner, what
yeah.
do you mean?
So we actually had quite a bit of parking near the parking reservoir at the north end of the park that was underutilized. The rest of the park would be full. In fact, people would be sent over to these off-site lots while we had maybe 100, 200 stalls that were remaining empty near the reservoirs. We didn't really have a way for people to get from there to the zoo or the rest of the park. And so when we started the interpark shuttle, we could tell people, park at this other end of the park. We'll get you to where you need to go. And that has really, increased the use of those parking stalls.
Great, thank you.
Yeah, sure thing. So this chart gives you attendance for peak season. So this is summer only. for the main venues that are in the park, main ticketed venues. So first you'll see that the Oregon Zoo definitely is bringing in a lot of the attendance. 2013 is on the left, and that is when pay-to-park did not exist as we know it now. 2014 is when it went live, and then, of course, 2016 was this past summer. So you can see that the Children's Museum really didn't see any change in attendance. The Japanese Garden has actually increased each year since pay-to-park went in. The zoo did see a decrease in attendance in 2014. That might have been a bit for pay-to-park. They also were doing quite a bit of construction on elephant lands at that time. And I am happy this is to report this is a press release that they sent out about a month ago, and they topped at 1.6 million in attendance this past year. So that's a little bit about how the pay-to-park system is running. I wanted to give you just some nuts and bolts of Explore Washington Park, the nonprofit that was created. So we are funded almost entirely through parking meter funds. We receive funds for our operating and programmatic expenses, and then we also receive funds to operate the shuttle system. We have received Metro federal funds through their Regional Transportation Option Program as well. We have a fantastic board of directors. It consists of the directors of all the venues, as well as Director of Portland Parks, Mike. TriMet sits on the board, we have at-large members, and we have the two neighborhood associations also represented. That's Arlington Heights and Sylvan Highlands. So, you know, we've talked a lot about, like, getting everything going and the money we've been able to raise. I wanted to give you a real sense of what we've been able to do with those funds in the three short years we've been operating. And I think one of the most visible things we've been able to do is create a free shuttle. So pay-to-park went live in January 2014, and hell or high water, I wanted to have a free shuttle in May because that was something that we had promised the public that we would do. And so we were able to partner with TriMet. They have Line 83 that ran throughout the park. So we paid for the fare box recovery of Line 83 so that we could advertise it as a free service. It was definitely really popular that first summer, but we didn't have control over frequency or customer experience. And so the summer of 2015, we were able to start our own shuttle service. At the time, we were called Washington Park Transportation Management Association, which is a little bit too long to put on the side of the bus. And we didn't have a website, so we weren't able to market it as much as we wanted to. Having said that, it was a huge success. And that first summer, we offered 100,000 rides. The season is from May until October, and it runs around 15 minutes, depending on traffic in the park. The next year, we did have a logo, we had a website, name, et cetera, and so we were able to brand the shuttle and the shuttle stops. This is right outside the TriMet station, right in front of the zoo entrance, and the word free shuttle is written no less than 9 times in this picture. So it would be very hard to be here and not realize that you have a free shuttle that will take you around the park. In addition to branding the buses, we also got the service on Google Transit, and we created a real-time app that lets people know where the bus is in the park. And all of that had a huge impact. This is just a picture of any summer day, and you can see the popularity of the bus. In fact, we had standing room only often on the bus. Our shuttle ridership increased 40% in just 1 year, and we gave about 130,000 rides this past summer. And, of course, that is beginning to impact the park. So we can show that we've reduced the number of trips by 26,000 vehicle trips in the park, and that has created some decrease in greenhouse gas emissions. We've decreased CO2 emissions by 32.9 million by taking those number of vehicles off the road, 32.9 tons. We also wanted to provide some customer service to folks once they were in the park. This is a picture of an old coffee kiosk that's right at TriMet, right in front of the zoo. So it wasn't in use at the time, and so we were able to turn it into an information kiosk. We staffed this kiosk 7 days a week, June, July, and August. We worked to have bilingual staff, and those staff were located both at the TriMet kiosk and at the Rose Garden, and they helped over 30,000 people this past summer. One of the largest tools that they used was a free brochure that we created. So this is a map of the park. It lets people know how to get to the park, really emphasizing transit. It also lets people know where the shuttle will take them and what they'll find inside the park. We printed 25,000 of these, and we distributed them through our customer service staff, the venues, and partners like Travel Portland. We've also developed a website that will let people know what they'll find in the park, how to get there. It even has a parking availability widget, so people can see if there's parking there at that time or not, and if they should be taking transit to get to the park. So we've done a lot that is really sort of hands-on resources that people can use to access the park. We also have worked on policy for the park.
Before you get to that, could I just ask a question? If people park in the overflow, do they have to pay for that?
No, the overflow parking is free, as is the shuttle that brings them back.
And the shuttle operates all the time, not just when the parking at the park is full?
No, the shuttle only. There's two different shuttles. There's an off-site parking shuttle that only operates when we use those off-site lots, and that we only use the off-site lots when the parking is full. So on a summer weekend day, we would use those lots. The intra-park shuttle, that runs continuously from May through October. It's on a set schedule.
Commissioner.
Oh, I see. Within the park itself.
Within the park itself, we have a shuttle that runs continuously every day. But then we only use the off-site lots when the parking lot is full at the park itself.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. So those are some of the services that we're offering. We're also working on policy to improve access in the park. One of the ways we've done that is to adopt a transportation management plan. This was adopted this past October, and this was one of the main tasks that the TMA had when it was created. And that transportation management plan sets out goals for the park. It also has different target areas, such as mode split. So, you know, we're looking to decrease vehicle trips by 15%. One of our goals is really to make sure that we have measurable targets, and to that end, we do really robust surveying. Every single August, we survey 800 to 1,000 people. They're intercept surveys. We offer those surveys in 5 different languages. And so with that, we've really been able to track the impact our programs have had on the park. This is probably my favorite slide because it really shows you those impacts. So you can see in 2014, 80% of the people that were coming to the park drove to the park. This past summer, that had dropped down to 66%. So a lot of those folks are taking transit. We've increased from 13% to 17%. I think what's a really interesting story here is this other car share. So in 2014, when we started, Other was rollerblading to the park, and Uber and Lyft hadn't come on the scene. But now, in 2016, Uber and Lyft are a main way that people are getting to the park. In fact, it's 8% of the people. So it kind of shows how technology is impacting the way people are accessing the park and moving around our city. We definitely are working.
Sorry to keep interrupting.
Yeah, sure.
What can you tell me about the demographics of people coming and how much the different languages are used?
Yeah, so we do ask in our survey, we ask what language is spoken at home, we ask race and gender, and we ask their their zip code. And we have chosen not to ask their income. We've decided that we can use census tract data in order to figure out the demographics of that. And so we are using that to figure out who is coming to the park. One of the main goals in the transportation management plan is to increase the number of people from underserved populations that are accessing the park. And so we'll be able to use that data to track if we're being successful with that or not.
And do we have any preliminary findings on that, like we have with the most chairs?
I do, yeah. It's in our survey report. This can be found on our website. And I can provide you a copy of this. It goes into great detail about that data.
It is on your website.
It is on our website, yep. And we can also provide you a paper copy.
Thank you.
Sure thing. So we do have a couple of things that are coming online. One of our goals is to do some targeted marketing to our venue members. These are folks that we can get information to before they get to the park. So we received a $140,000 grant from Metro to do that work. We'll be starting that work this summer. We also are looking to improve our shuttle service. We don't want people to have to stand on the buses, so we'll be putting more buses en route. And we are looking to develop and build out a new Rose Garden shuttle stop. So this is the current Rose Garden shuttle stop that we have. It's really a pole on the sidewalk. And by this summer, we'll have an actual shuttle stop that is completely ADA compliant that can have up to 20 people there. So we're really excited about that project. We're also looking at providing more sustainable off-site parking solutions. So I've shown you this yellow school bus. It's certainly not helping us reach our greenhouse gas emissions. So we're looking at using Sunset Transit Center on the weekends. There's actually more parking available at Sunset than what we currently have in our off-site lot. And we're looking to partner with TriMet to figure out how can we improve that access link between Sunset Transit Center and the park. It's just one stop on light rail. So we're looking to partner with them on that program. Of course, Mike had mentioned that we're working on a master plan. That master plan is being led by Portland Parks and Recreation, and it is set to be completed in the fall of 2017. And then lastly, we are working with the Portland Water Bureau. So they've got the reservoir project taking place right now. This is a map from our brochure. I want to orient to you to the map. So the bottom is 26, and that's where the zoo's located. And at the top is the Japanese Garden and the Rose Garden. And you can see that's where all the red lines are. Those are the red lines. Those are the roads that are being impacted by the reservoir project. That is where we have lost over 50% of our parking at that end of the park for this next peak season. We've also lost a major access road for the park. So we are working aggressively with Portland, Portland Water Bureau to provide additional shuttle services, and we will really be marketing for folks to take transit to the park and then getting on a shuttle in order to get to that end of the park. So I hope that gives you a little bit of background and some information, some update on what we've been able to do these past couple of years. It really has been an amazing effort, and it's been just an honor for me to be able to work in the park and work to improve access to it.
Thank you.
Mike, I have a question.
Sure.
And first of all, congratulations on the report, and to Commissioner Fritz and Director Abate, and to, I love the name, Explore Washington Park. And by the way, I just went on my phone and pulled up the app.
Great.
And it's terrific.
Great. Thank you.
So thank you for that. Mike, one of the concerns we had a couple years ago was the impact on mobility in Washington Park with all the big capital construction projects happening at the same time. And that includes the expansion of the Japanese Garden, the work at the zoo, obviously the Water Bureau work, which after the presentation, I feel like I owe you an apology for, but it is for the greater good. Yeah. But so you have a lot going on. How is that impacting the ability of people to get around?
Well, it's going to have a significant impact. Right now, it's not too bad because it's certainly off season. But this is the year; it's the centennial of the Rose Garden. The International Rose Test Garden will be 100 years old, and there will be a celebration this year. And just convergence of realities. We're in the middle of a giant construction project at the same time that we are going to recognize an important milestone in the city's history. I think Heather hit it on the head. This summer, if you want to come to Washington Park, please take MAX. Take MAX or other public transit. There will be very, very limited parking. It will be hard to find, and there will be congestion. So, but what's wonderful is that because the foundation's been laid, we now have a process and a plan to help people enjoy the park in the summer of 17. So it has real impacts. I would say great thanks to the Water Bureau, great thanks to the Bureau of Transportation, all of whom have come around the table and realized we got to make everything work to the best extent possible. So,
I just want to say, looking at the app, I actually had no idea you had so many stops that were conveniently located, particularly on the perimeter of Washington Park. So for people that are going to take a bus and then to like 23rd and Burnside or someplace on the edge, it really, there's no reason to bring your car into,
right.
I mean, I don't want to take revenue off, I don't want to work against your goal of generating revenues to fund all this, but you have made it very easy to access the park without bringing your car in, right. And I thank you for that.
And I'd say one other thing on the app front, if you do drive, like if you come now, there's an app, Passport app, where you can pay for parking. So that's really helpful. If you come to the zoo and you've got a couple of kids and you pay for a couple hours of parking and in the midst of your visit to the zoo, you say, man, we haven't been to Elephant Lands yet. We need another hour. You just, on your phone, you can dial in and get another hour or 2 hours of parking without going all the way back to your car. So it's been a really great success. That's how I pay to park when I'm up there, is I just use the phone app.
May I ask, has there been any extension of the services provided to people who are mobility limited?
You want to talk about that on the shuttle?
Yeah, so our shuttle is completely ADA compliant. It's able to hold two wheelchairs and 24 people that are seated.
And I would say that there are many, you know, the city did an inventory of barriers, and Portland Parks and Recreation, because of our facilities, have more ADA barriers throughout the city than any other property owner. But the bond, for example, the bond project, we are doing a major project for increased accessibility to the Rose Garden, and that's also being timed with the centennial in mind. So, yep. All right. Thank you.
Thank
Appreciate
you very
the time.
Much. Any public testimony on this issue, Carla?
Yes, I have three people signed up. Please come on up. Star Stauffer, Mimi German, and Joe Walsh.
And as usual, 3 minutes to the subject, which is parks.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is, my name is Star Stauffer. Thank you to Washington Parks for coming up here and giving us that lengthy commercial for transportation and TriMet. Because let's be honest, that entire project that they're putting together and the entire presentation that they just gave has nothing to do with the park. It has everything to do with transportation and TriMet. And the money will not stay in the park. That is misguiding the public, thank you very much. Because when you talk about expanding parking lots and partnering with shuttles and TriMet and buying kiosks, that's putting money into the hands of developers and corporations. That's not money staying in the park. Money staying in the park would look like taking the money and reinvesting and planting more trees. Or if we're going to develop more structures in the park, let's build some tiny homes. I think in that park with the shuttle service and everything that's going on, we could probably do, starting off, 25 tiny homes. We've got a free shuttle service that we'll take them up there and take them back downtown so that they can get needs met at the shelters as far as meals and clothing and stuff. That sounds like a really good investment to me if you really care about the public. But don't come up here and give some half-cocked presentation and think that as the public, I don't realize that you're not talking about the park. You're talking about putting money in the hands of TriMet and construction developers. How does this improve the park? This is just more walking space in concrete. If you want to invest in your community, invest in those who have nowhere to sleep. We have this entire park that you've turned into a tourist attraction. That is our park. Shame on this council that you would sit here and listen to this for all of this time, and you can't even give us a meeting about the houseless. We have emailed all of you, and you Daly's office sat with us for 2 hours and took notes and wasted our time and didn't present them to you. And you will sit here and listen for 20 minutes about them developing a parking lot, and you think we're stupid enough to buy that it's about the parks. We're not. You've underestimated us, and we're not going away. We want to talk about this houseless issue, and we don't want a meeting with your assistant, Wheeler. We want a meeting with you. Face to face, where you have a pencil in your hand taking notes and making stuff happen. Period.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice, and I got a just tell you how enthused I was listening to that plan, because your staff obviously spent a lot of time and a lot of work, and they did a lot of graphs, and they contacted TriMet, and they did all the things that they're supposed to do. So my question is to you, Mayor, where the hell is the plan for the people dying on the streets? Why don't you have a plan? Where are the graphs? I want to see graphs. I like graphs. Little buildings coming up here and saying, oh, we lost 5 people on our streets. We got a plan. Where the hell is the plan, Mayor? You keep saying there's a plan. Why don't you get TriMet to put 2 buses right outside here as warming buses? You open up the Portland building and you think you're St. Francis? No, you're not. You're a fraud at the moment. And we want to believe in you. We wanted to give you 6 months. We wanted to go with you. You're a fraud so far. You throw bombs at kids, for God's sakes. And then you have Graham.
Please don't interrupt him. This is the only opportunity we've had to speak.
I am on point.
Parks.
I am on point.
Thank you.
And my point is, you're a fraud.
All right. Thank you, sir. Good
and
morning.
And you, every week, will be told that. Fraud.
Thank you, sir. Duly noted. Good morning.
My name is Mimi Gurman, and I thought that the report on the parks was really illuminating, and I'm glad to see that there's such extra money being made from the parking lots that could be turned over in and of itself to help build shelters at these parks for people who need shelter. And the parks are a wonderful place, as we just saw in that in whatever hour-long presentation, or so it seemed, to even have two different shelters built, two different villages built at the park because there's enough room. And I have a feeling that at the park, if there was a graph that showed the space near where the reservoir was, where that was, you know, instead of being made into more parking, that we took that idea and used it in a way that was much more efficient and beneficial and humanizing for what our true needs are in the city, where we build a village there near the reservoir, and we build another village of tiny homes in another part of the park, because the park, as we just saw, is doing so well on the extra money of the parking lots that already exist and the money coming in from that. So instead of spending money on concrete, which is something that this council sat before, you know, another presentation last week or 2 weeks ago about giving money to preserve concrete and fix the concrete in front of another just disgusting and heinous gentrifying building on Front and around Northwest 9th, instead of having a pattern of paying for more concrete, let's take that extra money and build villages in the park. There's already, that we just heard, there's free busing. So the people who need to come down into the city to use any TPI or anything like that, they can come in on the free buses that already exist. I think it's a fabulous way to spend that extra money. And kudos for the parks for, you know, putting this presentation together. We just need to change the focus of not going for concrete, not allowing more money for concrete, not allowing money to create a shelter for people who are waiting for a bus rather than shelter, which is housing for people. I found that appalling in that presentation, that there's already a pole that exists there where people know clearly up at the Rose Garden where to wait for a bus. They don't need a shelter. The people who need a shelter with that extra money are the people who are living right out here on the street at that park. Be a perfect, perfect answer. So I encourage you to look into that extra money, that $2 million, and how many? You could build beautiful tiny homes in two different villages, perhaps three different villages up at the park, and take care of the needs of the people up there.
Thank you.
I'm Shedrick Wilkins, and I'm sorry I don't agree with this conversation. I believe that Washington Park is a place of natural science. We don't want people living there. I've had wonderful...
Shelter is life! Water is life!
I'm sorry, you're going to be excluded. All right, all three of you are excluded. We'll take a 10-minute break.